Our scripture reading for today is found in the Gospel according to Mark. We'll be looking at chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. And they were bringing children to him so that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Permit the children to come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all." And he took them in his arms and began blessing them and laying his hands upon them. The word of the Lord. Please be seated. So again, we are at Children's Sabbath, and this is the Children's Sabbath sermon. But I want again to be clear that this is not a children's sermon, not necessarily a sermon designed for children, but a sermon for adults about children. There is a distinction. And I want to talk a little bit about my own journey as far as being a youth pastor, children's pastor, family pastor, that I've been for 30 years now doing that kind of work. And I remember early in ministry, I used to say, well, I'm in youth ministry because youth or children are the, anybody know? Future, right? So you've heard this phrase before. They're the future of the church. Now, I've aged into this work quite a bit, and I've started to realize that the young are not the future of our church. They are our church. They are an important and vital part of who we are as a congregation, who we are as a community. I brought up some toys, and I know, Ava, you're looking right now thinking, am I going to get to play with these? Maybe later. I put these toys out for the grown-ups in the room. How many of you recognize? Yeah, show of hands. Like, some of you are like, oh. Okay, so first hand up, how many of you recognize these because your children played with these things? Show of hands. All right, now. How many of you recognize these things because you played with these as children? Exactly. Exactly. I had this one. This is not mine, but I had this. It was one of my favorite toys in the world. I don't exactly even know what it is. It says the Parking Ramp Service Center, and I'm assuming it's Fisher-Price's version of a parking garage, because what child doesn't want to play with a parking garage, right? When you think about the most fun thing that you can think of in this entire world, it's not a circus. It's a parking garage that has a gas station right here. I know, it's a service station, Carol is pointing out. It says parking ramp / service center. So it does serve multiple. One of the best parts of it, do you remember this sound? Yeah, that's how you know the cars are going up every floor. It's pretty awesome. And there's a section for cars and there's a section for people because the car and the person wouldn't fit in at the same time. So you would put in, and then the car would go down the ramp. Hours of my life were spent doing that. I can't imagine being the adults in my household hearing that bell like constantly over and over and over again. And some of you are having flashbacks right now, just going, oh, yes. Like you kept walking toward the door and then realizing it was your child in the other room. And this, of course, this is the barn. The barn is the best. And one of the reasons the barn is so great is because not only can you play with it, but then you flip this up and it opens up and you can go full barn. The farmer's in there. He's pretty awesome. So he's pretty cool. Here's the guy. Like, we used to love to play with this. Now, these are Fisher-Price toys. Have you seen the new Fisher-Price commercial with John Goodman? How many of you have seen this? Do you have any idea? My wife has seen it. You've seen it. All right. So John Goodman, the actor John Goodman, is in a new Fisher-Price commercial. And all of a sudden, as he's walking through, he's in life-size versions of these toys. And immediately, within seconds of seeing this commercial, I'm like, I know where you are. He's coming right out of this barn right here. I know that. And John Goodman begins this dialogue and says, you lived here once. Ooh. I know what he's talking about. I did live here once. This was once my address. I lived here once. And then he starts talking about the joys of childhood and says, then at some point you had to move on to the tall place where opinions are loud and you had to wear shoes all the time. And just talking, and he's, while at this point there's Fisher-Price thing, there's cars going by, there's people, he's walking with a little child. And then he says, but you can always return and you can bring someone who can teach you all that you did not know you forgot. It's one of the most poignant things on television today is that John Goodman, through the Fisher-Price, who of course Fisher-Price is trying to sell you toys, but Fisher-Price is trying to say, through John Goodman, there was a time when we lived here where life was simple, where life was less loud, where you could walk in and you could kick your shoes off and run into your room and find a world that was worth believing in. And he said, you can go back. You can grab a child's hand and you can go back, and when you begin to play, theoretically with Fisher-Price, when you begin to play with a child, you remember those things that you did not know you forgot. If I have a message to us, and I think the message of this story in the Gospels says the same thing, it is that children are not just valuable to us, they are vital to us. And not because children are valuable because they are the future, because someday we're going to get too old for this. We fall into that trap a lot, right? We fall into the trap of, well, we'll need somebody to pick up the mantle of whatever it is that we're doing under the general umbrella of Wilson Memorial Church. We need children to do that. So we'll teach children down over there, and hopefully they'll come back. And on a weekend like this, We can be honest, right? We're friends. Do any of you look around and see the lack of children and it worries you a little bit? It does me. Because we look at that and what we see is that we don't have our legacy, right? That's sometimes the things that makes us afraid, is that we don't see our legacy. But one of the reasons why I think that we don't see our legacy is because we treated them like legacy. Instead of treating our children as a vital component of what we need to worship God together and to work so hard at it. We do love this story. This is such a common story. I would guarantee that if we walked into the children's library or our own library right now and pulled a children's Bible off the shelf, we would have some version of this story painted right on the front. Jesus gathering up children onto his lap in a happy and celebratory picture. We have it down, I think, somewhere down in the Sunday school wing. I think there's a picture on the wall of it. We attach this to children's time so much because we want children to know that Jesus loves them. But what I find so interesting is that the story or the painting of Jesus welcoming the children is never in a grown-up sanctuary. I've never seen it in an adult worship space ever. It's always somewhere far away. But I don't think Jesus intended this story to be a children's story. I think Jesus intended this story to be an adult story a call to the adults in their lives. Let me walk through this real quick. Jesus, as it says they, it's this general they were bringing the children. I don't know who the they is, and I love the fact that the Bible leaves it open. It's not necessarily dads, it's not moms, it's not Sunday school teachers, it's not regular teachers, it's not grandparents, it's just they. So some people, some human beings were bringing children to be blessed by Jesus. Now I want to explain a little bit about what this blessing is. That this blessing is a very, very common blessing, is that blessings would be passed from generation to the next. Fathers would bless typically their sons, because their sons were going to inherit everything that the father had. Rabbis would also bless the young because they were to inherit whatever was coming. And all of these people were bringing these children to Jesus to be blessed. It was a common thing. It was a way for us to communicate this. These are the people that will inherit the kingdom of God, the blessings of God. And so people are bringing their children, and it says specifically, they were bringing their children for Jesus to touch them. That means that they were very close and they were within proximity. I think Jesus' disciples were looking at the situation going, Jesus could just kind of throw out a general blessing to everybody, could stand up on a stage and say, I bless you. But these people were saying, I want to bring my children into Jesus' physical proximity so that he can touch them. That's what the disciples were stopping. The disciples were like, no. Don't bother the master with this kind of detail. Right? Because children's work, that's for the children's people, right? Like, that's for the Sunday school teachers, that's for the youth pastor, that's for this is not the big time rabbi work. That's for the others. He can cast out a general blessing. Jesus looked at it and said, no. Bring this child to me. And as he brings the children to him, Jesus touches that child. Something that for the ruling religious class of the day was anathema. You know that the rabbis refused to touch children because they didn't want to become defiled by them? Truly, that was a real thing. They wouldn't touch them because they were afraid of being defiled. Was the child clean? Was the child unclean? There's no way of saying it. We're assuming it's unclean. You know, and if it's coming to us, we have no guess. And they wanted to stay ceremonially pure so they would not touch a child. And the disciples knew this, and they were trying to protect Jesus, assuming Jesus would want the same thing. And he's like, no, I want to touch them. I think about the same thing that happens in our culture with a different way. We are so afraid for physical contact because of abuses and things that have happened in the world of children. Children are now put somewhere else. They're put down in another room. They're put into another category. We have to run through all kinds of background checks and all kinds of things to get us to be able to spend any time with children. And even when we spend time with children, there are all kinds of rules about the time that we spend with children. And believe me, I understand them, because there has been so much abuse of children these days. But there's something to the approximation of touch. And Jesus is not afraid to be defiled by children, not afraid that children are going to affect him, that Jesus says, I want to touch them. And he does. I can't imagine what the disciples were imagining when they were seeing this situation. For the most part, the disciples found themselves confused by Jesus all of the time. But then when Jesus did that, Jesus did more than just say, no, I'm willing to touch them. Jesus takes the child and places the child in the center of our theology. He says that this child is how we get into the kingdom of God. That if, however, we welcome this child, is how we will find welcome into the kingdom of God. If you want to receive the kingdom of God, you will receive it the way that a child would receive the kingdom of God. Jesus places this children at the center of our theology. You know, children Children aren't born racist or sexist. That's something that they're taught. I'm so struck by the fact that when a child comes out of the womb, they begin to cry because they have the faith of believing that somewhere out there in the place that they can't see is that place of comfort that they have just lost, and they're longing for that comfort again. And then as soon as they are comforted, they are able to settle in. That's the earliest of faiths. And as they are young, they're limited only by their imagination, because as they play, they see the world the way that it's supposed to be, a world with kindness and fairness and sharing and love. They have no problem, unless they have been taught to be afraid, they have no problem running up and hugging you, because they believe in a world that should be safe and should be kind. And Jesus says, but if you try and come into the kingdom with all the baggage of adulthood, you will find that you won't fit through the gate. So he says, look to the children and recognize that that is how you enter into the kingdom of God. You know, I took some time to look through the books. We're renovating the nursery, by the way. I don't know if you've ever been down there. We pulled out some of the old toys and things, and we're putting some new things in. We're trying to get it designed so that it's not only a great place for young children, but a great place for nursing moms and parents can go and be comfortable. We're trying to figure out how to get the service piped in down there visually, so that parents, especially parents with young children, can still feel like they're a part of our worship. And part of that was I've started going this search for books that, in theory, parents can read to their children if they're down there. And instead of just, you know, the pokey little puppy, you know, things that are supportive of our... who loves the pokey little puppy? I'm not taking away from the pokey little puppy. That's a great one. But trying to put some things into our nursery that parents can use to teach values and Christian life. And I was looking at some of these things, and I'm so struck by every single one of these books is about a better world. It's about a world where people treat each other with kindness, where people aren't criticized for having feelings or recognizing the fact that harmful words really do affect, and if we focus in on positive words. I'm looking at all these books going, I think I understand what Jesus means. Because if we had the faith that I see in these books, I think about what a great world that we would have. But instead, we get caught up, right? We get caught up in arguments. We get caught up in opinions. We get caught up in the fear that drives us that someone is taking something that belongs to me. And I need to get that back. We forget the trust that faith has that when we cry out to God, that God is going to show up. Isn't that hard to believe sometimes? When we pray that God is actually going to show up? You ever have a child that when they cries out to their mother or father is wondering if their mother or father is ever going to show up? Again, kids get taught that, right? Kids get taught that by parents who don't show up. But there's no kid born doing anything other than believing that when they cry out for the person who loves them, that that person is going to show up. That's that faith. And to be able to pray that way, to live that way, that is what Jesus is trying to encourage in this passage. I want to leave us with this thought. In this idea of children's Sabbath, I wonder if we truly understand the vital nature of children in our congregation. It's more than valuing them. We value children by making a nice Sunday school wing or making sure that we have proper staff to do Sunday school and things like that. That we value them. But if we consider them vital, how will that change what we do as a community? Well, that means that we will intentionally seek out relationships with children instead of saying it's nice to see them running around, that we actually build relationships with the children and the families that are here. or the families and the children that are our neighbors and our friends, the people that we run into, and not saying, hey, I want you to come to church, but say, I want to build meaningful relationships with you. And we as a congregation to make sure that our worship always has room for children in it, that children are visibly considered vital in the way that we worship and the way that we invite. I don't know if I have all the answers to it. I just know that when I saw this passage, I couldn't help but think that Jesus is not saying, value the generation before and teach them well so that they can become adults someday and take over our church. But Jesus is saying, learn from them. Allow children to be the prophets that speak into our lives about what the kingdom of God is supposed to look like. Listen to them as they speak into our lives about love, about kindness, about sharing, and about grace. And then as we hear their voice, don't say, well, isn't that nice for kids? But to say, God, I hear your voice through this person, and I will respond. Amen.